We call upon the name above all names, Jesus, who has answered us and shown us mighty things, Lord. Lord, we sense your presence, we sense your love, and we ask for your forgiveness in any area where we've offended you. Wash us with the blood, purge us with your presence, fill us with your spirit. Let the anointing and the power and the glory of your love break every yoke of bondage. Open eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive what the counsel of the Lord is. What the counsel of the Lord is. Holy Spirit, we welcome you, for we know that you carry the counsel of the Lord. I'm asking tonight, Holy Spirit, that you will release the Lord's counsel, that we may have understanding, that we may have wisdom, and that we may discern. Yes, Master, we love you. Tell him you love him. We're nothing without you, Dad. Nothing. Now please, Father, breathe upon us afresh. Change us, that we may be a sign and wonder to you, for your world to be rescued. Use us, Lord. Melt us, mold us, establish us, perfect us, and position us. And breathe afresh upon us tonight. Jesus. Worthy and holy and true. For there's none like you, Master. None like you. None like you. Whew, come on, lift your hands again. Get them, Lord. Fill them, fill them, fill them, fill them, kill them, fill them, kill them, fill them, kill them, fill them. Then fill them. Then kill them. Then fill them. Joy. Joy. Overflow. And we welcome Phyllis. So Phyllis and Joy, would you please come here? Hallelujah. These people are crazy. You're absolutely right. We're not from this dimension. Now I welcome the spirit of revelation to come and teach us and grant revelation and impartation in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Praise God. Let me share something with you. Since Friday night, we're in another realm. The Lord has opened another place for us. You have the choice to get in or not, but it's available to those who are willing to die. Well, there's a price for everything, isn't there? Sometimes it's hard to bring things in when they're so important. When there's a fresh revelation in the area of what God is doing. And turn to Matthew 25. We'll go there. We have heard this before. In verse 1 in chapter 25, would you read it with me? And the kingdom of heaven shall be likened 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet them. Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil.
for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said to them, surely I say to you, I do not know you. I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. This scripture will continue to be fulfilling all the way to the rapture of the body of Christ. There are those who are wise and those who are foolish. Now I understand something, that this is also involved because they were virgins, weren't they? They had oil, didn't they? So that means that they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? But five of them maintained the oil. Are you listening? I mean, this is so important because it's a representation of priesthood. It's a representation of priestly. In other words, there were five of them that were maintaining their priesthood. Five of them that let it go. Okay? Is everybody with me? We'll talk a little bit more about this. Go to Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Psalm 133, let's read it together. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Are you together tonight? Amen. Do you know why you're here? To fulfill your priesthood. Priesthood is not fulfilled individually. It's fulfilled corporately. Come on, do you get this? Do you know how many people keep missing coming to services and they wonder why they struggle and fight? And you know why? They're not maintaining their priesthood. And they got a form of religion. They think they know things. They make wrong decisions. They do all kinds of goofy things. And then they can't walk in the counsel of the Lord because they begin to walk in a soulish arena. See, it is important, and I'm going to tell you about the vision the Lord gave me here in a second, but I'm telling you right now, we must maintain our priesthood all the way. Everybody is called to be a priest and a priestess. A priestesses. Now, let's read this again. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, right? It is like the precious oil. Here we go. It's the anointing, isn't it? Upon the head, running down on the beard. Now, look who he uses as the example. The beard of who? Aaron. Is Aaron a priest? Yes. He fulfills the Levite covenant. And the Levite covenant must be maintained in your life. Running down the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Why? Because the presence and the anointing of God brings life. I'm sharing with you right now, it is essential, essential, essential that we maintain in fellowship and we maintain in worship to fulfill your priesthood, to maintain it. Does everybody understand that? Without it, you'll be deceived. And we'll talk more about this in a minute. Is everybody okay? So you understand here right now, this is what's happening. Now, I've been having a vision. I haven't been able to shake it. Ever since Friday, I keep seeing in front of me, and I kept seeing Abraham sacrificing Isaac. I kept seeing it. I'm going, Lord, what is this? I kept seeing Abraham sacrificing Isaac. I see the altar. I see Isaac on the altar. I see Abraham with the knife getting ready to sacrifice him. And that picture is burned in me, and I haven't been able to move it or whatever. And I kept going, Lord, what's up? What's up? He said he was fulfilling his priesthood. See, we are in a famine right now. But it's nothing but a rehearsal of what's getting ready to come. Without fulfilling your priesthood, there will not be supernatural provision. Because if you realize, when I kept looking at this picture and kept looking and I kept saying, Lord, what's with this? He said, you must, during this time until I come, maintain your priesthood. And I thought, well, okay, well, here's Abraham getting ready to sacrifice. Remember, he built an altar and so forth. He was going to sacrifice his son Isaac because he was being obedient. And then because he was obedient, then the Lord stepped in, right? And what did he do? He provided. Does everybody understand that? God is going to release an anointing of financial increase to those who are going to maintain their priestly garments and their priesthood. Does everybody understand this? This is the word of the Lord. For those, there will be a supernatural release. Things will begin to happen. You'll find debts being canceled. All kinds of things are going to happen in your life in this time if you'll maintain your priesthood. Go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 22. We want to confirm everything, don't we? Amen. Genesis chapter 22 and starting at verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac. Now wait a minute. He had another son called Ishmael. But God knew Abraham's heart. Isaac was his son. Ishmael was of his seed, but the woman that carried his child was Egyptian. Does everybody understand? Egypt represents worldly. Now watch. Whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, hallelujah, resurrection power, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off, and Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder in what? What was he doing? Fulfilling his priesthood. He said, keep the lad, keep all of this stuff. I'm going to go worship. Does everybody get this? He was going to go minister to the Lord, wasn't he? Did you minister to the Lord tonight? Yes, you're fulfilling your priesthood. Okay. Verse 6, so Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. He said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, and where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Nice. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So two of them went up together. Then they came to the place in which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar. What did he do? He built an altar. What's a priest do? Built an altar. And placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the place, the name of the place, the Lord will provide. I'm telling you, this is what's going to get you through. The Lord will what? Provide. As it is said in this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. Come on, are you listening? What was he fulfilling? His priesthood. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Now, is that powerful or what? Now, I want you to understand something. Did you ever hear the saying, like father, like son? See, Abraham was literally looking at himself when he was sacrificing Isaac. He went to go worship. He built the altar. What God is asking us right now is to sacrifice ourself. Yourself. He's saying, put yourself on the altar and sacrifice it, or you won't make it through. Has everybody got it? You must put yourself on the altar and sacrifice it. Remember we talked about a couple weeks ago when the Holy Spirit said that the body of Christ was coming to the end of herself. Remember that? In other words, before it could be the body of Christ can be removed, she has to come to the end of herself. And the Lord reminded me of that. I'm thinking, oh, that's right. You said this weeks ago, whatever it was. And so when he began to show me about Abraham getting ready to sacrifice Isaac, he said, this is what I want my priests to do, because we're called to be priests, to put themselves on the altar and sacrifice it. So everybody got it. So we must maintain our priesthood. Now listen. By coming to the end of ourself and constantly maintaining our priesthood, oh, it's going to release supernatural provisions. The world is in a famine, right? They're in a famine right now. The whole world is in a famine. And famine means lack. They're in an economic famine. This is a rehearsal of the true judgment that is coming. This is just a glimpse of judgment right now. God comes with judgment of the sword, famine, and pestilence. And the sword we've seen already, it's called 9/11. And it's still happening. Now there's famine globally, isn't there? There's pestilence globally. These things are happening. But they're going to increase and increase, and there'll be a false peace. The world won't even see what's going to happen. But you and I will, as long as we maintain our priestly office. God will begin to release. There will be no recession in the priestly office. God provides to the priests. Are you listening? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36 and verse 23. Is everybody okay? It's awesome when you begin to see all the things begin to tie in. You know, if you remember months and months ago when the Lord shared with us that the scripture that's going to maintain and go all the way to the end was the 10 virgins. And then he tells us about that he was bringing his bride to the end of herself. And now he's telling us how to get through this crisis time. Man, see, he never leaves his children. He always provides. He's going to make supernatural way. But I'm telling you that there's an area where you must maintain your priestly office. And you do it by corporate worship. There's so many people here getting caught up in the soulless arena that are not here tonight, that should be here. And they struggle and they complain and all kinds of things that happen in their lives. And it's because they don't maintain their priestly office. And they blame everybody else for their stuff. Or the economy. Don't blame the economy for your stuff. Forget it. We're not associated with the worldly economy. We belong to another economy. And it's a prosperous one. Are you listening? If you start looking at the worldly economy, you're going to get sucked in. Because what you serve is what you become a slave to. If you're not fulfilling your priestly duty, God will not supernaturally provide. But I'm telling you, if you do, you just saw the scripture. You hold on to it, and you don't let it go. Ezekiel 36 and verse 23. He says, "And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am what? Hallowed in you. When I am reverenced in you." That cannot happen until you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. The priestly anointing does not manifest until you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. Is everybody okay? We'll get to this. Let's go a little further. "For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of the countries, and bring you into your own land. And I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And I will give you a what? A new heart, and put a what? New spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you." That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. "And I put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and you will do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all of your uncleanliness. I will call for the what? Grain and multiply it, and bring no famine." Everybody say no famine. "Upon you. I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields, so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations." This is the promise from your father as long as you maintain your priesthood. Hello? Oh, glorious. Now look at this. And he says, "Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. And you will loathe or hate, despise yourselves." In other words, you want to sacrifice yourself. Hello? "In your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations." In other words, he's saying, fulfill your priesthood. Get that self up on that altar and sacrifice it. I'm not talking about physical suicide, okay? So don't go home and hang yourself. That won't work. Hello. Now, so we see here is he is hallowed in us and we maintain the priesthood. He's going to provide, isn't he? He knows that there, you know, God knows there's a famine out there, you know. In fact, he brought it. It wasn't a man. He brought the famine. Are you listening? What's going on out there right now is because God did it, not a man. Now, we can blame the insurance people, the mortgage people, these people, that people. We can look at them and, you know, and harass them and tell them we know things better, which we do. But it's the Lord that brought the famine. It's the Lord that brought the sword, and it's the Lord that's bringing the pestilence. And why is he doing that? So men come to repentance. So that they no longer rely on secularism. See, the word secularism means society without God. Now, listen, God sacrificed himself for us, didn't he? Now he wants you to sacrifice yourself for him. By putting self on the altar. Go to Genesis 21. Genesis 21. Verse 8. So the child Isaac grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. So the Lord was telling him, man, it's okay. Throw the kid out and his mother. come on, let's get real. Throw the kid out and his mother. I mean, this was Abraham's son. His name was Ishmael. He was being born before Isaac. And it was actually caused by Sarah, because Sarah couldn't get pregnant, and she was a gazillion years old. She was 100 or 99, plus or minus a day or two. And so she couldn't get pregnant, and so she said, listen, go into my maidservant, Hagar. So he did, and she produced a child, but she was Egyptian. She was not in the heritage line. Is everybody with me? So they birthed a child, Ishmael. That's where we get a lot of the Islamic. Oh, I'm not going there right now. Is everybody okay? Okay, verse 13. He said, yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman, because he is your seed. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. In other words, man, he sent him out to die. Does everybody get it? And the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went out and sat across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. For she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him, lifted her voice, and wept. And God heard the voice of who? The lad, not her. Why? Because he was the seed. He heard the voice of the seed. Do you understand that? He didn't hear her voice. He heard the lad's voice. I'm telling you, you got to get this. Because when you realize who you are, if you're the offspring of Christ, God's hearing you. The thing is if you're not fulfilling and cooperating what he's telling you to do, he won't answer you. He may hear you, but he won't answer you. The Bible says the Father seeks those who will worship him. But he rejects the sinner. So we see even right here that Abraham had to remove Ishmael. He removed Ishmael. Now, let me explain something about Ishmael. First of all, Ishmael is what you might call mixed anointing. Are you listening? Ishmael was like a mixed anointing. It was something like when man loves a blessing, right? But the blessing's not God. Isaac was the covenant promise, but it didn't mean that Ishmael wouldn't be blessed because he was still from the seed of Abraham, but he wasn't the covenant seed of Abraham. Does everybody understand that? There's a difference between covenant. When you have a covenant with God, it's totally different. See, we have a covenant through the blood of Christ. That's where you have an inheritance coming. Now, what happens is with Ishmael, because he had to remove the Ishmael. He had to remove the Ishmael for the Isaac to come up. If he did not remove the Ishmael, the Isaac wouldn't have flourished. Because the devil likes to steal, kill, and what? Destroy the seed, doesn't he? And Isaac was the covenant seed, wasn't he? So God agreed with Sarah, because he probably told her anyways, you know, do it, to remove Ishmael and Hagar. Why? So that the Isaac could produce and flourish. Ishmael was something, you know, like people have hopes and beliefs and prophecies. They're chasing all of these things. They have false hopes. They have, well, to them it's not a false hope. But they have hopes, they have beliefs, they have prophecies. There's self-imposed blessings. Are you listening? See, this is called soulish arena. God had to remove Ishmael with the mixed anointing because it was affecting the soulish arena. He had to remove the soulish arena out of the way so that the spirit, the seed, the promised covenant seed could grow and flourish and not be distracted. See, I'm talking about in your life, you must move your Ishmaels out. You must move the Ishmaels out. And there are many people who have Ishmaels in their life. In the area of past relationships, experiences in your past, dreams. You must let them die to go forward. Especially prophecies. People chase prophecies. I do not chase prophecies. I chase the Lord. If a prophecy comes to pass, hallelujah. But I do not chase prophecies. Because most of the time people prophesy out of their soulish arena and not out of the spirit. Hello? See, this is what is separating. That's why, because they walk in mixed anointing. Ishmael was walking in a mixed anointing. And these things must be removed from our life. Ishmael was a mixed anointing. And, he was a man pleaser and a God pleaser. Are you understanding? He's trying to please both. That's Ishmael. And that must be removed. Remove Ishmael. It's done by sacrificing yourself. Abraham was continually fulfilling his duty in his priesthood by sacrificing daily, building offerings, offering things to the Lord. In fact, if you recall, before in the Old Testament, before anyone went out to war, they always built an altar and sacrifice, didn't they? To get God's favor. Well, if they had to do that then, how about me and you now? I mean, I'm not talking about putting your dog on the altar or anything like that. I mean, we do the sacrifice of praise now. That's called the sacrifice of praise. That is your priesthood. You are to be a minister to the Lord. I want to share just a little bit more in this, because the Ishmael in people's lives is a soulish arena. It's a mixed anointing. It wants to please man and please God, but it can't please either one. It just isn't going to work. And then there's that fight. And then what happens is they make wrong decisions. They're anxious. They walk in fear because of the area of not willing to sacrifice their self on the altar and maintain their priesthood. You must constantly remove the Ishmaels in your life. And I'm talking about soulish arenas, things of past. You know, there are still people who are caught up in their past dreams and visions from years ago that are waiting for things to come to pass. Some people are still waiting for their high school sweetheart to divorce their spouse and get married. What an idiot. I'm telling you, that's called granolaism. Nutty and fruity. Go to Matthew 16. See, so once Abraham removed Ishmael, then he took the Isaac to sacrifice. But he first had to move Ishmael. Does everybody understand that? Now, if Ishmael were still there, he might have had a hard time fulfilling the sacrifice of Isaac. In Matthew 16, is everybody there? In verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself. He should have put on there, kill himself. No. Kill yourself. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one according to his works. Now I want you to understand something importantly. Because when he said, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. Those are the three chambers of the tabernacle. When the Old Testament, when they built the tabernacle, there was three chambers. It was the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Those were the names of the three chambers. So we see that the outer court was a representation of denying yourself. The holy place is a representation of picking up your cross. And the most holy place was a representation of following him. Now I'm going to give you the interpretation. The outer court, deny yourself. God's will. The holy place, pick up your orders. Pick up your orders in the holy place. And the most holy place is called follow the king to battle. Now I want to share something prophetically. Prophetically in the arena of not, don't look at present, look at the whole arena eternally. Prophetically, the tabernacle. Okay? Prophetically, the tabernacle. The outer court was the Lamb of God, right? The holy place was the priest of God. And the most holy place was the king. Now, prophetically right now, from the day of Pentecost to the day of atonement is called the holy place. It's known as the Age of Grace. Is everybody with me? From the day of Pentecost, why? Because prior to Pentecost, Jesus was sacrificed, wasn't he? Fulfilling as the Lamb. Then the Bible says that he ascended into heaven and sat at the right hand of the Father as the high priest, isn't he? But see, priesthood starts with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is the holy place. That's the priestly anointing. So prophetically right now, the priestly anointing, the holy place, is going to continue to flow to the next fulfillment of the Day of Atonement. Why? Because it's a priestly event, isn't it? Are you listening? Because Jesus will return on the Day of Atonement. So this is going from the day of Pentecost all the way to the Day of Atonement will be a representation of the holy place. Because Jesus will return as the King of Kings. Are you listening? Fulfilling his kingship. That's the most holy place. And that will be established on earth, won't it? Is everybody okay? Okay. Let's go to Exodus 28. Exodus 28. Let me show you a little bit of priestly. See, if you want to draw a little square on your notes, it's a rectangle. Make three sections. Outer court, holy place, most holy place. That is the tabernacle of God. The outer court is known as the anointing of salvation. The holy place is the priestly anointing. The most holy place is the kingly anointing. And it doesn't mean that you can't move into kingly anointing. Because let me share one other thing with you. Those are three dimensions. The outer court is the first dimension, the holy place is the second dimension, and the most holy place is the third dimension, and that's what God is looking for, third dimensional warriors. Exodus 28, verse 40. For Aaron's son you shall make what? Tunics. And you shall make sashes for them. And you shall make hats for them for glory and beauty. And you shall put them on Aaron your brother and on his sons with them. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister to me as what? Priests. Now, how do you minister to him? You praise and worship him. And you shall make for the linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from the waist to the thighs. They shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they come into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place. That's a place of priesthood. That they do not incur iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever to him and his descendants after him. These were garments that were given to the priests. In fact, in the book of Revelation, it talks about all of the saints that were waiting for them to return. And they were underneath, it said that they were under the altar, and God gave them white garments. What are those garments? Those are priestly garments. And it says, but they were given to him because of the righteous acts of the saint. Why? Righteous acts is a priest. The righteous act to fulfill. It's priestly. Does everybody get this? So they're actually under garments that are priestly garments that you and I wear. They're anointed. It's almost like anointed underwear. You know? Oh, don't get religious on me, okay? Only those with a priestly garments can wear an armor of a warrior. I want you to listen to this. Because if you're not wearing the priestly garment, it means the priestly anointing isn't there. Did you ever try to put metal on bare skin? It doesn't feel too good. That's why there must be undergarments underneath the warrior called the armor of God. That's the king. Now, this armor is kingly anointing. Okay? This is kingly anointing. And those undergarments are given to us because you must have the priestly anointing to wear the kingly armor. Somebody got it. That's why people are trying to put on kingly armor and they end up falling. Why? They don't maintain their priesthood. Now go to Romans 12. That's why we gather together. What are we doing? We are fulfilling our priesthood. Remember what the Bible says in Psalm 133? It's good for them to be in unity. Who was there? The priest with the oil coming down. It's a corporate anointing where you are fulfilling your priesthood right here as you praise and worship God. That's why the more you worship him, the more you go after him, the more you change. That's why people are free. And at Romans 12, is everybody there in verse 1? What does he say? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Hallelujah. What's he saying? Come on, fulfill your priesthood. Sacrifice yourself. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or your responsibility. Service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good. Outer court. Acceptable. Holy place. And perfect will. Most holy place. Sacrificing yourself. We are in a rehearsal judgment. In other words, we're seeing what's going to really start to come. It's an end times judgment, isn't it? The famine is here. It's an economic famine. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. But it'll have a form of getting better, but it never will. This is it. Hello. Don't try to kid yourself. Time's running out. It's happening. Malachi 2. Malachi chapter 2. God will begin to expose your Ishmaels in your life, those soulish arenas, those things that we don't want to let go to because we have emotional attachments to them, including ourselves. Malachi chapter 2. Is everybody there? This is powerful. Let's start at verse 1. And now, O priest. And now what? O priest. What's a priest? One who ministers to the Lord. This commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take heed to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you. I will curse your blessings. Come on. These are your Ishmaels. I will curse those things that I blessed you with if you won't give glory to me. If you won't maintain your priesthood, I will curse those things that I blessed you with. Hello? Now, a priest should be sanctified, separated from the world. Not touching unclean things, knowing what's holy and unholy. So if you're in here worshiping God, but you're still doing the things out there you shouldn't be doing, you're not fulfilling your priesthood. And what God blessed you with will become a curse to you. Are you listening? It'll eat you up instead of help. Those blessings will become a curse to you. That's why marriages get destroyed. That's why people go out and they buy stuff and they shouldn't buy. They get themselves in debt. Let's go a little further here. We'll get to all that. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? I will send a curse upon you, and I'll curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already because you did not take it to what? Heart. You didn't take this serious. You thought that I was just a God that would just sit back and let you trample my name consistently. You didn't take this seriously. But now those things that I blessed you with are now a curse to you. Because I've called you to be a priest. Let me tell you, you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost and you're trampling God's stuff. Your blessings are coming curses now until you repent and turn. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants. Hello? You want to see your kids go astray? Trample. And spread refuge on your faces. The refuge of your solemn feasts. And one will take you away with it. Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue. See, priests are known as Levi. You and I have a Levi covenant with the Lord. In other words, we are his inheritance. Says the Lord of hosts, my covenant was with him, one of life and peace. I gave it to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and iniquity, and turned many away from iniquity. That's what he's calling us to do. For the lips of a priest should speak knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. Does everybody see this? In other words, blessings turn into curse, not maintaining your priestly anointing, which is the undergarment of your warrior armor. See, when you're not doing that, you try to fight, and you just can't fight. It seems like everything's out of time. Everything's out of sequence because you're not maintaining your priestly anointing. In the Old Testament, they always sacrificed before war or battle. We are in an end-time worldwide financial economic shaking. It is to expose greed, abuse of poor, lack of compassion, the root of all evil, which is the love of money, selfishness. Debt is the enemy's tactic. Does everybody get it? Debt. People buy new cars, boats, go on big vacations, but they can't put their own kids in a Christian school. Hello. They spend money foolishly, get themselves in debt. They want to be like the Joneses next door. You know, or maybe put your child in an extra curriculum of dancing or whatever it is. And they can't do that because they spend money foolishly on self. Because they can't think beyond. They can't see things through because they're not fulfilling their priest anointing. They make many selfish mistakes. And someone always suffers for their mistakes. They withhold from God. Let me tell you, when you withhold from God, the heavens close. Are you listening? When you begin to withhold from God, the heavens will close. I don't care how many hours you work. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you pray and you fast. If you're withholding from God, the heavens will shut over you. Because you're not obedient. He does not hear a prayer of the sinner. Oh, Lord, forgive me. What have you cheated me on? Tithes and offerings. You stop sowing. You stop doing this. You stop doing that. See, if you do this, he does that. But there are people who withhold from God and they expect God to bless them. Forget it. The heavens will shut. And those things that you were blessed with will become a curse to you. He's wanting all men to come to repentance and turn from it because of what we're in right now. This is a global economic famine. It's not going to disappear overnight. It'll have a form of things getting better, but it won't. We are called to be priests unto the Lord. We must fulfill our priesthood and maintain it, no matter what. That's what's going to get you through. You'll be a wise virgin to continue. It just blows my mind. And people that struggle and want counsel for this and all of this other stuff, yet they can't show up to worship their king. They can't even show up to worship their king, but they justify. They use every kind of excuse. I stubbed my toe. Well, I worked late 2 weeks before. I have to wrap Christmas presents. You know, all those excuses without fulfilling their priestly duty. I'm telling you, when the doors open to come to corporate worship, get there. That's how you fulfill. That's how you fulfill. That's how you fulfill. Do you get it? Or those things that you've been blessed with will become cursed to you. This is what's going to get us through. Does everybody understand that? That's what's going to get us through. All the way. We'll be a wise virgin. Number one, you must maintain priestly anointing. Minister to the Lord and assemble and submit and die. Come on, write it down. Number one, you must what? Maintain a priestly anointing. Don't worry about your job, man. You maintain that anointing. That maintains everything. And that's ministering to the Lord in an assembly. Number two, maintain the covenant with his word, his promises of his word, and his voice. See, because when you maintain that, you're actually sacrificing yourself, aren't you? Maintain your sowing, tithes and offerings and service, and ministering to him. Too much carnal and soulish reasoning. People are becoming more blind. Even believers aren't able to see it through. Many believers are becoming more and more blind. I'm seeing it daily. Calling themselves believers, but they can't see. Because they're not maintaining the priestly anointing. And let me tell you about this. It must be with all of your heart. You just don't come in and play church. Come and you seek him with all of your heart because you want to minister to him. You're not asking anything from him. You're giving to him. That's what a priest does. Does everybody get it? You're giving to him. You're sacrificing your life on the altar. You're ministering to him. You're not asking for anything. You're giving to him. When he opens, then he releases. You don't have to ask because he already knows what you need. Is everybody okay? Number three, we must fight for the position, spiritual position and physical position. You got to fight to get here, don't you? Amen. The devil wants to do all kinds of stuff. Come on, you can get that overtime tonight. We must fight for position to receive the end time financial anointing to fulfill his divine purpose. There is an end time financial anointing going to be released. Go to Job 5. Job chapter 5. It's in the employment section. Speaking about the financial anointing, see? You got an employment section called Job. I remember the first time I ever opened the Bible, I thought, job? Wow, this Bible's awesome. It's got the employment section. Man, you can get jobs through this Bible. If you follow the spiritual laws, you will. Job chapter 5 and verse 20. It says what? In famine he shall what? Redeem you from death, and in war from the power of the sword. You shall be hidden from the scourge of the tongue, and you shall not be afraid of destruction when it comes. You shall laugh at destruction and famine, and you shall not be afraid of the beasts of the earth. For you shall have a covenant with the stone of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with you. Does everybody see this? You shall laugh at it. Look it. You shall know that your tent is in peace. You shall visit your dwelling and find nothing amiss. You shall also know that your descendants shall be many, and your offspring like the grass of the earth. You shall come to the grave at a full age. Yeah. He shall come to the grave at a what? Full age. And as a sheaf of grain ripens in its season. Behold, this we have searched out. It is true. Hear it and know for yourself. If you'll fulfill your priestly anointing. Number four, go to 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20. Verse 17. See, when you're in position, look at this. Watch this. It says, you will not need to fight in this battle. What? Position yourselves. Spiritual positioning. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Now go to verse 20. And he said this, and they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall what? Prosper. In other words, that is being what the word that's being released right now. If you believe in the Lord, the word believe means to follow. You follow the Lord, and you believe what the Spirit is releasing to us right now. He says you'll not only be established, but you'll prosper if you're willing to do this. So we must follow, obey what the Spirit says now. Has everybody got it? Go to 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. In verse 10. Start at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, arise, go to Zephrath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he rose and went to Zephrath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. See, there was a famine. There was no provision. And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But make me a small cake from it first." What was he trying to do? Get her to sow. Does everybody get it? She was relying on her carnal thinking. Oh my God, we've only got one morsel of bread left. One slice. I have to slice it in 16 pieces. What are we going to do? Give it to God. No way, you kidding? I'm going to hold this back. Oh, then the heavens will shut. Hello? So he said, "Make a cake from it and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son." She thought, this guy's crazy. How can I make it for my son if I give you everything we have? And he said, "Don't fear," right? "For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." Hello? He said, man, it's going to supernaturally fill itself. He'll supernaturally provide. Just give me what you got. That's all. See now, did Elijah offer up any sacrifices? Yes. Hello, do you understand that? Come on, he was always challenging those prophets of Baal and... Hello? Come on, he was taken up alive, wasn't he? He was always... I mean, Elijah, remember when the enemies would get by a servant or a king, Elijah ended up showing up with a sword and killing them. He was a warrior. He wore a priestly garment underneath his armor. Does everybody get it? Is everybody okay? Go to Hosea 5. Hosea chapter 5. Now see, the woman was understanding the corner according to her human precepts, the widow. We've got to come out of that soulish arena and human precepts and begin to walk in the Spirit. Go to verse 10. Would you read it with me? Hosea 5:10. "The princes of Judah are like those who remove a landmark. I will pour out my wrath on them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he has willingly walked by human precepts. Therefore, I will be to Ephraim like a moth." What's a moth do? Eats stuff up, doesn't it? "And to the house of Judah like rottenness," that decay. Does everybody see this? Because people are walking by human precepts. They're walking by what they see, what they feel, and how much cash is in their pocket. And you can't do that. Does everybody understand? Let me share something very important. Would you mind turning to 2 Timothy chapter 1? In verse 6, "Therefore what? I remind you to what? Stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." What was he talking about? Well, he laid hands on him, didn't he? Hello? Fill him with the Holy Ghost? Hello? He said, stir up! Pray in the Spirit, man. Stir yourself up. "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and of love and of a sound mind." Let me share with you, your enemy is fear. Your enemy is fear. He knows what you've been called to do. He knows what you're supposed to do. He knows who you are. But he'll do everything to prevent you from fulfilling and receiving who you are. Your enemy is fear. Does everybody get it? Now, fear protects something. Pride. And pride protects self. Hello. It's That's why we must maintain a humble heart. Is everybody okay? We must maintain a what? A humble heart, submissive. I'm going to close with one scripture here. Hebrews 3. Is everybody all right? Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 12. Would you read it with me? Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin or fellowship with sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if, that word if means only if you cooperate. If we what? Hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Well, let us say today, if you will hear his voice and do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. See, one of the keys is, you know, that releasing. In other words, letting go. Letting go of those things that you hold on to, things that we hold on to, amen, that cause us to stumble. Letting go. Letting go of your Ishmaels. Letting go of the mixed anointing. Letting go of that soulish arena. It is very, very dangerous. There's many people who minister out of the soulish arena, and it is dangerous because they're too easily moved by emotion, false compassion. Are you hearing? They're moved too easily, and they give away things of God too easily. They open their hearts up in the areas that cause them to stumble. Instead of expressing the heart of Christ, they express the heart of their soul. And it brings emotional attachments. Remember to get through this all the way. All the way. That's why the Lord is looking for those in the area who are willing to fulfill their priesthood. He is looking for those who's willing to put their self on the altar. Putting yourself on the altar. Stop making vows you can't fulfill. Stop getting in debt. Never go buy something where you're calculating, well, I can afford this all the way. In other words, people go out and get in debt. Well, what if you lost your job next week? See, they can't see that far. Are you listening? That's amazing to me. People go out and buy $30,000 vehicles and they don't even own a home yet. That's foolishness. I understand that. Then we deprive our children and all the other things of what is due to them. It's good for us to leave our children an inheritance. Amen? Leaving them something. Instead of our debts. I'm sharing this with you because the enemy's tactic is to put us in debt. Too many believers are now in debt. And they're chasing the money to get out. And they're crying out to God for help. And now they can't even give something to someone who's truly in need because they've brought themselves in debt because of selfish purchases. Say selfish purchases. So I just want to encourage everyone, maintain your priesthood. I'll give you more wisdom. Don't let those blessings become a curse to you. This is how we're going to get through this. You repent, you turn. You don't get yourself in debt anymore. Hello? If you can't afford it, you don't deserve it. God provides. It's not time then, is it? It's not time. Is everybody okay? I'm telling you, God wants to release a financial anointing that's going to break through for a supernatural provision. If you'll turn and repent from all of the things that we have done in every area that we have brought debt, and lay it before, put yourself on the altar with all of those other things, and don't go back to them. Sever yourself from the Ishmaels, and let the seed of promise have his way through. And I'm telling you, God will supernaturally provide. Supernaturally. But you're going to have to eat some humble pie first. Just put a little whipped cream on it and enjoy it. And worship and minister to the Lord like you've never done before. Maintain your fellowship in corporate worship, for it is oil that runs down us onto our garments in fulfilling our priesthood. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your word tonight. I ask that you seal this seed with the blood and let it grow and bear fruit for your glory. And even as the days pass by, Lord, that you'll bring revelation to each and every one of what you have spoken here tonight. In Jesus' name.